Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
The COVID rescue bill getting closer. The details, how families and workers win. Meanwhile, the campaign for the PRO Act picking up steam. And today on the show, the latest from the Communication Workers of America and the Cleveland, Ohio building trades. Good afternoon and welcome to the Tuesday, March 9th edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on five platforms right now. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and most recently, Pandora. We have two guests on the show today. We're going to start things off in a couple of minutes with Frank Matthews. Frank is the Administrative Director for the Communication Workers of America District 4, and that includes Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Wisconsin, and Michigan. A couple things we're going to get into. Number one is voting. And last week in the House, a piece of legislation, H.R. 1, called the For the People Act, passed. The big issue is going to be in the Senate. This is legislation that would establish a number of new protections for voters. Number one, it would prohibit the spread of misinformation about elections that aims to hinder or discourage voters and increase penalties for voter intimidation. It would also require that states inform voters of polling place changes and ballot drop-off locations. There's been so much confusion on voting, and a number of states, we'll get into this, I think a majority of them, I believe it's like 43 right now, have enacted voter suppression laws because of what happened in November in Georgia. And Georgia is one of those states. The Republicans in those respective states are very, very upset that the Democrats are in control, and they don't like that. So the best way to do that is suppress the vote. There's a comment in the press release, which is posted on the CWA website. Shane Larson, Senior Director for Government Affairs, he said the following: "We know that those who have taken a sledgehammer to voting rights will only redouble their efforts in the wake of the 2020 elections. Even as our nation is facing so many different crises, we must make democracy reform an absolute top priority to ensure that for the next election cycle, which is already in full swing, we have fair elections." So we'll get into that. Plus, we're going to get into the PRO Act, Protect the Right to Organize. We'll talk more about that. And speaking of organizing, and we touched on this last week, workers at Glitch, that's a developer of web-based applications, they have secured a collective bargaining agreement, the first contract signed by white-collar tech workers in the United States. The members overwhelmingly ratified the contract, which lasts for 11 months. This is the one that did not include pay so much. They just were very concerned about the conditions that we're working under. And the workers will be represented by the CWA, CWA-union.org. Also good news, Joe Biden, our president, selected a CWA lawyer as general counsel for the National Labor Relations Board, Jennifer Abruzzo. She was on the labor board before, and she's got high marks. So good news coming out of the CWA. Dave Wondolowski will be joining us later in the show. Dave is head of the Cleveland Building Trades, and cbctc.org is their website. And the Trades Council is the umbrella organization for more than 29 member local unions working in the construction industry in greater Cleveland. They represent about 10,000 highly skilled, highly trained craft workers working with developers, building owners, contractors, individuals who want a professional workplace, workforce, I should say. So he's going to give us an update on the economy with the pandemic. Things are starting to get better. There's a big project in downtown Cleveland, Ohio, for Sherwin-Williams. It's going to be their world headquarters, and that's been delayed a little bit. We'll get an update on that. Governor DeWine, Ohio Governor Mike DeWine, signed a bill. This was at the end of 2020. And it includes about $23 million in construction and renovation projects throughout Cuyahoga County. So that's certainly good news, and Dave will touch on that as well. And I'm sure we'll get into infrastructure, which we hit pretty hard on the show yesterday. Good conversation. If you missed the show yesterday, we had Ed Mortimer on. Ed is with the organization Americans for Transportation Mobility, and we were talking about the state of our infrastructure and how he feels moving forward with the Biden administration. It was a really good conversation, and it's one of those conversations where you walk away from and you feel real good that things are probably going to happen under this administration. They have to happen. Let's put it that way. Good stuff, and that's archived on awfradio.com. Good news continues to emerge about the contents of the $1.9 trillion stimulus bill that passed in the Senate over the weekend. As the New York Times reports, the bill includes an $86 billion support package for 185 ailing union pension plans. The plans would cover employees in industries like construction, where workers frequently jump between employers, have been pushed toward insolvency for a number of reasons. You got an aging workforce, companies that went bankrupt, and then there was a what they call a misguided attempt to fund outlays by investing in the financial markets rather than through member dues and employer contributions. And what happened, when was the, you had the financial crisis, 2007, 8, and 9. Boy, that just wrecked all of them. Well, the Senate plan is pretty unique, says the New York Times. While prior rescue efforts have involved loans from the Treasury or an insurance-like mechanism, the bill that passed the Senate proposes to simply send much-needed cash. That's it. I understand it's coming like a grant that they're appropriating for the pensions. $86 billion. Senator Sherrod Brown, who's going to be on the show this Thursday, said the rescue plan's inclusion in the bill is a really big deal. Really big deal. And another component here, it's going to help the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, which would become insolvent in 5 years if they didn't do anything. The Teamsters, we had John Murphy on the show a couple weeks back, and they're elated. More than 50 of the union's pension funds would be eligible for aid, including the Central States plan, which has 400,000 participants and beneficiaries. Good news. Republicans are going nuts. We got a comment here from Kevin Hearn out of Oklahoma, and he said during the House debate that the measure didn't belong in the legislation aimed at addressing the pandemic. This is what he said. I don't see how a blank check to unions will defeat the virus and reopen the economy. There's a name to remember. So good news for the multi-employer plans. Of course, Biden has to. Biden's going to sign it. It just got to get to his desk, and it's going to happen. Boy, it could happen probably at the end of today, tomorrow. Thursday, he's going to address the nation because it's the one-year anniversary of the pandemic being called a pandemic, and that resulted in the shutdown, which hurt a whole lot of people. More on the stimulus here. There was one individual who didn't show up for the vote, Dan Sullivan from Alaska. Apparently, he returned to his home state so late that he did not vote. So they did not need Kamala Harris. It passed the Senate 50 to 49. Now, the bill includes $1,400 checks for individuals who make less than $75,000 last year or married couples who made less than $150,000. And it phases out payments at higher income levels. That's the difference from the last time when we had the CARES Act. It also includes a $350 million in aid to state and local governments, $130 billion in funds for K through 12 schools. Unemployment benefits, $300 a week. They originally wanted $400. $3,000 fully refundable child tax credit for children ages 6 to 17. And $3,600 credit for children age 0 to 6. And for vaccinations, $100 billion. $100 billion. That's a lot. That's a lot. Now, on to the PRO Act. The progressive Democrats have kicked off a multi-month campaign to support the Protect the Right to Organize Act, which should pass in the House this week. This is the act that aims to remove many of the obstacles to organizing, which are in current labor law. For example, the act would prevent employers from holding captive audience meetings in the run-up to a union election, much like what happened at the Bessemer plant in Alabama for Amazon workers. Remove them from the process of setting up election procedures, strengthen penalties for retaliation against pro-union employees. On top of that, the act would ban collective and class action waivers in employment contracts and make it far more difficult for employers to exempt themselves from workplace safety and minimum wage obligations by being classified as independent contractors. So that campaign is stepping up, and again, that's going to have an issue in the Senate. All right, we have to take a break. When we come back, we're going to link up with the Communication Workers of America.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Nurses, doctors, and caregivers at the VA are under attack. They face hostile management, callous agency heads, and an administration that's stomping all over their ability to speak up for our veterans. Unions are even being kicked out of their offices, a direct attempt to silence the voice of VA employees. When VA workers are under attack, veterans pay the price. Costly privatization and outsourcing will run rampant, meaning fewer services and worse quality of care for our nation's heroes. It's time to stand up for the workers who care for our veterans. Paid for by the American Federation of Government Employees.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining,
atomic energy,
and the service sector.
We are steelworkers. Standing strong and fighting for what's right.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferentz with America's Workforce.
Hey, we're back. It's America's Workforce. Don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle is at AWF Union Podcast. Before we get to a Frank Matthews, I mentioned a few minutes ago about the legislatures around the country passing voter suppression laws. And this is out of Georgia, courtesy of the Georgia AFL-CIO, which is led by President Charlie Fleming. Charlie comes from the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, and he says lawmakers are seeking to establish new barriers to voting for eligible Georgia voters, especially black and brown voters. He points out last year, 2020, Georgians turned out in record numbers to make their voices heard on a very important election. Now, the legislature is trying to limit mail-in voting, a method that has proven to be safe and secure. The legislation comes up for a vote this week, and Georgia's working people are writing their state senators and urging them to reject the legislation. It's SB 241. So those of you listening on our podcast in Georgia, do take action. Another way to help on this, let's go to line number one, is to pass the For the People Act. And it passed in the House last week. The battle's going to be in the Senate. And joining us on our live line right now is one of our great sponsors and a great guy at that, Frank Matthews, District 4 Director of the Communication Workers of America. Hey, Frank, welcome back to the show. How are we doing today, buddy?
Good afternoon, Flash. We're doing great. What a great segue into why we need the For the People Act, you know. Just insane. And it's not just Georgia, it's Pennsylvania, it's Arizona, where it was actually proven that people given the multiple options of voting increases voter turnout like never before. The problem is, much like the Arizona Republican Party chair that testified about, why early voting, vote by mail was bad, was it puts them at a disadvantage. Is that not a terrible reason to keep people from voting? You know, you don't make your policies that line up more with working families and with the voters. We'll just change the laws to prevent those people. How dare they not agree with our pro-business, pro-CEO, pro-corporate policies. And you know what? Instead of correcting things and bringing things more mainstream with our positions, we're just going to isolate those that don't support us. You can't make it up. And,
yeah.
They saw what when you give people the opportunity to vote and make voting easier for folks. I mean, it's really frustrating. It just shows the depths of what some folks will do to stay in power. And we've got too many problems in this country. We can't worry about power and things like that. We need solutions, and this whole deal with the voter suppression and that's why the For the People Act is so important. It's going to loosen the corporate hold of money on our country. It basically takes a sledgehammer, to any initiatives by folks to reduce voting, and it actually gives people more choices about when and where they vote, and including the updating the voter registration process. So, there's a lot of things in it, like preventing. How many times have we heard that, about people getting letters in the mail by anonymous folks telling them that their polling place had changed or election day was actually November 6th this year? It makes that illegal, increases the penalties. There's just so many good things about it. And, it did pass the House last week, 220 to 210. Pretty much a straight party line vote. And it's on to the Senate, where hopefully, either we can get 60 folks to end the filibuster on it, because I guarantee you the corporate Republicans that are answering to the Chamber of Commerce's and the CEOs don't want working folks to have a voice in the way things are running this country, and average folks, and possibly even could be the impetus for doing away with the filibuster, because we just hear and hear about the other side wanting to, we should be bipartisan, we should work together, but I haven't seen a bill yet that has come down since Biden's been president that hasn't been a straight party line vote. So what's the impetus to have that filibuster?
I think 43 states now, and we just talked about Georgia, are trying to pass restrictive voting laws. And this all goes back to the fact that the Democrats are in the majority right now, and they don't like that.
During a pandemic, no less. You know, we've had so many problems in this country besides, you know, people worrying about paying rent, people worrying about staying healthy, people worrying about, you know, their jobs. And this is all that the legislature in all 43 of those states has to work on is how are we going to secure our jobs in 2 years, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Here's the only problem, and it's going to be tough. It's going to be really tough to get through the Senate, as you pointed out. But if it does, my next concern is the U.S. Supreme Court. Look what they did to the Voting Rights Act, and this is before it was a 6-3 conservative majority. That's an issue. Do you have any concerns there, Frank?
Well, there's always concerns. I mean, we saw what 45 did on his way out and about stacking the, you know, not just the Supreme Court, but the courts across this country and making appointments of all kinds of folks that, you know, had maybe hurt some folks, maybe less than stellar qualifications. And it's, yeah, that's a concern. But I guess all you can do is take it one fight at a time. And, you know, I think that's where we're at as working people in this country is, you know, play the cards that have dealt us. Let's claw back and let's fight back and let's put this country back in the hands of, you know, Joe American, the average person, and you know, the CEOs and the corporations have really made a mess out of a lot of things, you know, and it's just amazing to me how, you know, aid to Americans and aid to folks who are struggling during a pandemic. Some people will call it socialism, while giving corporate bailouts and golden parachutes to CEOs and the Trump tax giveaway that they, you know, that was given away 3.5 years ago, that's considered good business and that's okay. But helping actual Americans is socialism. There's something wrong there. And yeah, it's just a whole narrative that the business, pro-business folks and the CEOs have pushed. And it's time to start putting working families first again in this country. And all we can do is start clawing back, you know, one house at a time, one case at a time, and try to get things back on track, Flash.
You know, one of the components of the bill is that it would lessen the influence of gerrymandering. Now, that's a big issue in itself. And you know, it's very difficult to get some politicians out of office because of the way they carved up their districts. You often say that with gerrymandering, the politicians choose their voters. It should be the other way around. The voters are supposed to choose their politicians. And that's why you have people like Jim Jordan in office, and it's very difficult to get rid of them. It's my understanding that this bill, again, this is the For the People Act, HB 1, it would require states to establish a bipartisan independent commission to redraw their congressional districts every 10 years, a bipartisan commission, instead of like when the Republicans are in charge, like they are in many of the states, in the state legislatures, they get to draw them the way they want. And that's why nothing changes. So this is really good legislation. You were going to say? Go ahead.
No, you're exactly right. It's just some of these districts look like look like alligators across the state. And instead of when these districts were initially drawn up a couple hundred years ago, you know, it was more like a square box here. So chances are there was no exactly your point of reference is perfect, is the politicians picking their constituents, because once a politician gets through the primary, and let's be honest, that's pretty much decided by their party, there's really not a race in 99.9% of these districts, because they know that there are an overabsorbent, you know, a huge amount of, there's not a lot of bipartisanship or not a lot of equality in the parties the way they're drawn up. So Good point, and it touches a lot of things, and it's just good legislation, and it's certainly not any legislation to designed to give one side or another a benefit. It's legislation designed to make every American's voice equal, which is what, you know, certain people don't want right now.
Yeah. It's called democracy. Come on. Oh, my gosh. I can't even believe we're having this conversation, but that's the status of America right now. That's what happens. We always say elections matter, and this is a good reason to be motivated on. So for the people, it passed in the House, it's in the Senate, and I see the CWA. If you go to cwa-union.org, go to that website, and you can send an email to your respective senator and tell him or her that we need to pass this. I know they're not happy, especially those on the conservative side, but let's bring back democracy. I mean, that's what this is all about. Come on, cwa-union.org. Frank, I'm looking at that clock here. I got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about the PRO Act. And also a little salute to one of your lawyers there, now general counsel of the National Labor Relations Board. Later in the show, Dave Wondolowski will be joining us talking about construction in Northeastern Ohio on behalf of the local building trades. Back in a few minutes.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as health care and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.
The United Steelworkers of America represent over 70,000 workers in the state of Ohio. Steelworker members enjoy the benefits of some of the best contracts of any workers in the world. Many of your friends, neighbors, and relatives are members of one of the most effective democratic unions in our country. With the pressures unorganized workers are under in today's economy, you need to join them. So call the Steelworkers Organizing Office at 216-292-5683 or toll free at 1-800-443-3752.
Mesothelioma is a rare type of cancer caused by exposure to asbestos. If you were exposed to asbestos and have mesothelioma or lung cancer, the trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at kellyandferraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And we're back. It's America's Workforce. Don't forget, we are available on various platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, most recently Pandora. And when you get an opportunity, just sign up and receive our shows on a regular basis and eventually give us a rating. We'd appreciate a 5-star rating. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the fine folks at the North Coast Labor Federation, part of the AFL-CIO. Let's go back to our live line. Rejoin Frank Matthews on behalf of the Communication Workers of America. CWA-union.org is your website. Couple of things I want to bring to the table. First off, hats off to the CWA. I know you got some good people there, like yourself, I might add. But I see President Biden has replaced the general counsel. Well, he fired Peter Robb on day one, and then they had an interim director there. And now Jennifer Abruzzo, who worked with your union for a number of years, and I guess she was on the labor board before, she is now the general counsel. Frank, you're cranking out some good people over there at the CWA.
Oh, my, that was big. It was it's so big for labor. You mentioned it, and you said the comment in the last segment, politics matter. It really does. I mean, here we've been, you know, working folks in labor have basically getting their brains beat in by the NLRB over the last 4 years, you know, and it wasn't just new filings, it was the NLRB actually going back and reversing previous findings that were in favor of working folks. And, you know, so we've been dealing with that for 4 years. And so then to have an actual union a president that appreciates what the unions have done and appreciates, to use Sherrod Brown's term, the value of work, you know, is very refreshing. And the fact that, you know, President Biden would reach in and pull out Jennifer to be the NLRB general counsel is just very exciting and very huge. And I think a true indicator of how politics do matter. You know, working families are going to get a fair shake on the NLRB now. You know, if an employer wrongs you or fires you or does anything that's a violation of your contract or a violation of your basic, you know, worker rights, the hope and the you're just going to get a fair shake now is my opinion.
Yeah.
And you know, labor has never wanted any favors, but we've just wanted a level playing field. And under the Trump administration with the NLRB, it was not a level playing field. So I think this speaks volumes for, you know, President Biden's commitment to labor and to working folks. And very exciting, very exciting.
Yeah, yeah. And this is perfect timing, too, because we have legislation, which I understand should be voted on in the House this week, on the PRO Act, which is the Protect the Right to Organize, which would change labor law dramatically, dramatically. And I know the CWA is on this issue. I'd like to get your opinion moving forward and the game plan. I don't think, once again, I don't think we're going to have a problem in the House. The problem is going to be in the Senate. So what's your thoughts moving forward here, Frank?
I think it's very exciting. I mean, we're at like 214 votes now of co-sponsors on the PRO Act. I think we get to 217. We're there, and I'm pretty confident. We've got two numbers set up. The one for the House is 866-937-4359. If you call that and put in your zip code, it'll trunk you right into your House member that you can request that they support the PRO Act. They'll know what you mean. And then at the end here, I'll give the one for the Senate. But, you know, it's been, you know, the NLRB and the National Labor Relations Act was put in back in the 30s, and, you know, it's just been chiseled away, particularly about 1970. The CEOs and the Chamber of Commerce in particular basically put labor in their sights and said, you know what, our long-term goal over the next 30 years is to chip away at labor. And you know, what's really crazy, and Americans, and, you know, and you go talking about particularly older Americans and senior Americans, they talk about the 40s, 50s, and 60s like they were Shangri-La, like the golden age of America, like when things were great. What people don't realize is in 1956, you know, roughly one in every three workers were a union member. That's why America was growing. That's why we had a tax base. That's why we had money for infrastructure. That's why the country's growing. That's why people could buy cars. That's what grew the middle class in this country. The problem is, about 1970, you start to see that where productivity was still skyrocketing and, you know, going into the stratosphere, that wages basically have leveled off, and it's no coincidence that it's also about the same time that union numbers started dropping in this country because of anti-union legislation and attacks on workers. These CEOs and these corporations don't want a labor union. They don't want somebody to have a voice at the worksite. They don't want somebody to be able to have a voice on the job, and certainly they don't want a union company in their town to where they would have to compete their non-union company may have to compete for wages for the for everything. I mean, it's just common sense that if you've got a company in a town that employees are making $25-$30 an hour, that that company in the same town that is trying to pay folks minimum wage or better isn't going to be competing for the same people, or they're going to get people that, you know, that unfortunately weren't able to get into the to the big company. That's what they don't want. They don't want the competition. It's not about a philosophy. It's just that these CEOs have no problem, and these corporations paying huge money and huge, you know, golden parachutes and huge money to their CEOs, but it's about keeping the wage and the working families down at a certain level. So anyway, this here basically would re-energize the meaning and the true concept of what the NLRB was about and the National Labor Relations Act. And, you know, we've talked about it over the years about, you know, that some of the companies that I get on here and I say, well, they were found guilty again of violating workers' rights and stopping this group from forming a union or dragging their feet on a first contract. Well, this introduces, this bill reintroduces, I should say, meaningful, enforceable penalties for those companies and executives that violate a worker's rights. It expands collective bargaining rights, and it strengthens access to fair union elections. And that's so important because, you know, right now it's basically these corporations don't have a checks and balance to where if they violate, if somebody wants to form a union and they fight them tooth and nail and they illegally have these closed room meetings and they drag their feet on a first contract, even if they're guilty, there's really not no teeth to penalty. That's what this brings back. So I think it's another indication by the administration that they're serious about the middle class in this country being rejuvenated. And you know, there's an adage that I use a lot: the rising tide raises all ships, and that's what labor's done in this country. It's as labor has increased benefits for our members, all those non-union companies have done the same. So, you know, it's just very, very good legislation, and it is a person's right to form a union and to work site. That's about as American as apple pie. And unfortunately, CEOs and corporations have been chiseling away at this, and this will correct a lot of ills.
All right, Frank, you gave me that number for the House. Can you repeat that, and do you have a number for the Senate that
our listeners can... Yeah, the House number was 866-937-4359. And then the Senate number is 888-710-2317. And you call them, just put in your social or your zip code, and you will automatically be trunked into your Senate or House Rep's office. And if you get their recording, just say, hey, give them your name, address, and say, I really want my elected representative to support and pass the PRO Act.
Let me repeat those numbers. In the House, it's 866-937-4359, 866-937-4359. And for the Senate, it's 888-1888. You don't need the one anymore, but it's 888-710-2317, 888-710-2317, and tell them to pass the PRO Act. Bring the middle class back to America. You know, we got a couple of minutes left here, and we've had many conversations over the years about AT&T and the call centers, and I remember we're going back to the Trump tax cuts of, what was it, 2017, when the chair of AT&T said, well, if you pass this tax cut, we're going to create a whole lot of jobs. And instead of creating jobs, they got rid of jobs. Where are we with that campaign? And maybe you could speak to, there's a couple of states with call center legislation. Where are we with all that, Frank?
Yeah, we're probably going to, in the Midwest here, we're getting ready to have a call center bill, a state call center bill in Ohio. We've got one introduced right now in Indiana. One has passed already in Maine. I think Texas and some pretty unusual places that 5 years ago you would have thought a call center bill would have passed. Basically, what these call center bills do is they say that, you know, if a company wants to offshore our jobs and these call center jobs, then, you know what, that's their decision as a company, but they shouldn't qualify then for government loans, government handouts, or even government contracts if they're going to be moving the jobs offshore. And thankfully, we're starting to see a lot, some bipartisan support of those. Unfortunately, we aren't seeing a lot of CEOs and a lot of companies jumping on the bandwagon saying we support them also. So, you know, we haven't seen a huge groundswell of jobs return to this country. We're working on it, you know, little by little, incremental steps, but you know, the biggest thing would be is we also have the federal call center bill, which is basically the same thing, but at a national level for corporations on federal loans and federal grants. But I don't think there's an American out here that wants, thinks AT&T or any company for that matter should get a government loan, a government grant, or their tax dollars in the form of a contract if they're going to offshore our jobs. Particularly the call center jobs, and we've basically proven that most Americans want, if they're calling somebody about their health care, if they're calling somebody about their banking issues, if they're calling somebody about anything really, they really are more comfortable talking to somebody, you know, in America, because you know, you hear about these companies farming this work out to these third world countries. And as I've said before, we preach and preach and preach to our children and people about not giving your Social Security number out. And then a corporation will turn around and give your most private information out to some call center in say, India. And you've lost all control of everything at that point.
So. Good point.
You know, it's crazy. So we're working it. We're starting to see some bipartisan support. We're on the cusp of really shaming a lot of these companies, but it's not where we want it yet. But thanks to you know, shows like yours, we're able to get out, and 90% of Americans agree with this issue. It's a no-brainer. But it's prying that corporate money away from the politicians that are making the decisions that we need to do, and we'll get there.
Yeah, getting the politicians to agree on what the people want is not an easy task. Okay, buddy, keep up the fight, my brother. Frank Matthews, on behalf of the Communication Workers of America, CWA-Union.org, for more information. We'll talk to you next month, okay?
Take care, my brother.
Quick break. Dave Wondolowski heads the Cleveland, Ohio Building Trades. He's up next.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as health care and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
The Heat and Frost Insulators and Allied Workers are proud to be a title sponsor for America's Workforce Radio. The Insulators Union is leading the way in the mechanical insulation industry, fire stopping, and infectious disease control. Regarded as North America's energy conservation specialists, these professionals are known for their professional work and dedication. You can learn more about the Insulators Union at insulators.org.
Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with prostate, breast, or any other cancer after taking Zantac? You may be entitled to compensation. The trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at kellyandferraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And we're back. It's America's Workforce, where you can check us out on Facebook. That would be AWF Union Podcast. And follow us on Twitter. And Twitter handle is at AWF Union Podcast. Let's go to line number two. Welcome, a dear friend. Get an update here on the local building trades. I'm talking about Cleveland, Ohio. Dave Wondolowski is head of the Cleveland Building and Construction Trades Council. CBCTC.org is a website, and is here to give us an outlook on what's going to happen. It seems the pandemic is finally going to be behind us. We're still in it, but there's some light at the end of the tunnel. Hey, Big Dave, how we doing today, buddy?
Yeah, good afternoon. We're doing great, Flash. Thanks for having me.
So what's your view of the landscape here, especially in this neck of the woods?
Yeah, well, I think we're going to be very soon. We're going to be back to pre-pandemic investor confidence in our real estate in downtown Cleveland and in Cuyahoga County and also in Lake and Geauga and Ashtabula, of course. So looking to get that Peckman plant fired back up, and that was kind of put on hold because of COVID. Back in Ashtabula, and that's $750 million plant. But also, a lot of the work here in town, certainly Cleveland Cliffs is going to be doing a lot as well. So a lot of public and private work, and certainly looking forward to gearing back up for a great summer, fall, and next winter. There'll be a lot of activity in the market.
And you're getting some help from the governor's office and the legislature. I saw here, this was at the end of 2020, that Governor DeWine signed a bill sending almost $23 million to Cuyahoga County. And a lot of that money is going to go into construction and renovation projects. All good news. So it's good that you have friends on both sides of the aisle and making things happen. And we need to move forward. That being said,
yeah, the governor's been great. Everything from raising the gas tax and creating infrastructure work to doing just what you just referred to. He's really been a supporter of us as well as Jobs Ohio. So it's been great.
Good. I want to get into that Sherwin-Williams project. They're going to have the world headquarters. They're actually splitting it into two areas. One is in downtown Cleveland, and the other is in Brecksville, Ohio. How has the pandemic affected that? And I'm just wondering here, because that's going to be a lot of jobs. What's the latest on that, Dave?
I don't think it really has affected it all that much. I look for fourth quarter activity on that, first quarter of 22, definitely gearing up there. But I think that they've been in design for a while and planning, and the good news is they've never really stopped moving forward and progressing on the project. So, again, first quarter of 22, we should be up and running there.
Good. All right, very optimistic here. Dave, let's switch gears here a little bit and talk about some legislation, the COVID rescue plan. And one of the big components in that plan is pension relief for the multi-employer plans. I would imagine you've been watching that. Can you give us some details, get your perspective on that?
Sure. Closely, we've been watching that. Really concerned about the overall nature of the bill and how it's going to relate to specific pension plans. First of all, I'm really happy that pensioners are going to get kind of bailed out here, because nobody should would ever deserve to work their whole life or earn a pension and then have it cut because, you know, the stock market, didn't do its job. So ultimately, we're happy about that. I'm more concerned, however, about measures that will be taken to hold plans accountable that, you know, didn't do what they should have done. So, you know, as a pension trustee with Bricklayers Local 5, you know, we certainly, you know, made some tough decisions over the last few years to keep our plan in good financial status. And, you know, so we won't see really any benefit from this, at least the way it looks right now. So we'll wait for the final bill to come out and look at the analysis. But I'm just hoping that there's measures for accountability for other plans. You know, there certainly are plans in this country that have been, you know, not so well run and not so well administered. And, you know, the blanket bailout is a little bit concerning. But if they have measures for accountability in there to hold plans accountable and trustees accountable, I'll feel better about that. We're always about accountability, and
sure,
especially here in Cleveland. And, you know, we're happy that pensioners aren't going to see those haircuts take place. Or if they have, they'll get their money back and be made whole. But certainly concerned about accountability.
Yeah, there's a lot of plans that will be affected by this. Well over 100. I'm hearing 185 plans. And again, the devil's in the details. And again, this is being worked out right now between the House and the Senate, so we'll see what ends up on Biden's desk. One more issue here, wage theft, and I bring this up. We had a really good conversation last week with the head of the Illinois Economic Policy Institute, and they studied wage theft in the construction industry. And a lot of it has to do with the misclassification of workers. I'll make sure you get your hands on that study. Ohio was not included, but it's all part of it's not just in the Midwest. It's all over. And I know you have seen much of this over the years. How do we get a handle on this, Dave? What's your thoughts?
Well, it's a free for all out there right now, Flash. I mean, it is just happening so much. You know, we have prevailing wage laws that are still strong and vibrant here in Ohio. And unfortunately, you know, contractors regularly rely on certified payroll reports. The good news is that, you know, with the election of Joe Biden, we will get a U.S. attorney here that will be appointed soon. And we will work closely with him or her on going after wage theft here. And that's going to be one of my primary goals this year, is to really expose the wage theft and to go after those people. I mean, they're fleecing communities out of hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, every year, and it's wrong. And, it's one thing to compete against a non-union contractor that pays taxes, pays the prevailing wage rate, but it's a whole other thing to compete against a non-union contractor that's cheating. And there's a lot of them out there. And so going after these guys, exposing them, you know, making sure that they pay their price, and those that aren't, those that have been caught doing it, you know, pay a severe penalty for not doing it.
Yeah, yeah. And doesn't this hurt the good contractors, the ones that are doing all the right things, Dave?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it takes work away from my members. And it's something that is very unsettling to me and to the other leadership in the Cleveland building trades. And it's like, as I said, it's going to be a primary focus for us this year. As soon as that U.S. attorney is appointed, I plan to sit down with him or her and to work out a plan to really put an emphasis on wage theft.
All right, Dave, good stuff here. A lot of good things happening here. Different administration, different attitude in Washington. Some of that's filtering down to northeastern Ohio, among other communities in the country. Dave Wondolowski, Executive Director of the Cleveland Building and Construction Trades Council, again, the umbrella organization for more than 29 member local unions. You're talking 10,000 highly skilled and highly trained craft workers. You take care, be safe, and we'll talk down the road, okay?
Sounds good. Thanks, Flash.
All right, and you can find more at cbctc.org. That's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Tomorrow, Scott Paul of the Alliance for American Manufacturing, talking about jobs being created in the USA. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.